So praise God. This morning we thank God for another good morning. And it is always a great thing to come before God's presence and to hear from Him and to learn from Him and to understand Christ. And I think we really struggle with the understanding of righteousness, and many times when we talk, and when you talk to Christians, and when you talk to those that don't understand the teaching of righteousness, then you understand the inadequacies and why they are in certain bondages. Because when we see the righteousness that God gives through Christ Jesus, this is a righteousness that is by faith. It is not of works, and it is not of anyone's earning that anyone can boast about it. And this is Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Okay, maybe when you can just read Romans chapter 3. And I think God helping us in this session, let us try and just seek to understand what is righteousness, the righteousness that Christ gives, and the righteousness that is imputed by our faith in Christ. And this word means imputed, means that it is calculated and placed on us. I don't know mathematics how to better describe imputed. It's a conferring of righteousness. It is a righteousness that is a gift. Now, when we say salvation is a gift, that means that it is something that you did not deserve. It is something that you cannot earn. And there is nothing that you can do that can earn you this salvation and this righteousness apart from your simple belief and faith in Christ Jesus. Now, human tradition is very, very strong. And until human tradition is cut out from us, we will always struggle to understand with the righteousness, the teaching about the righteousness that is of faith, that is by faith and not of works. Ephesians chapter 2. Okay, sorry. Now, let me not throw you everywhere. Let's go to Romans chapter 3 from verse 21. Romans chapter 3 from verse 21. And maybe even just chapter 3 from verse 9. And I think I want to start there. Basically, if you read chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. In Romans chapter 1, Paul starts speaking about his desire to visit Rome and how God's wrath has been poured out on mankind. And you see, although people know God, they did not glorify Him or give thanks to Him. You see, what did God want? Romans 1:21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him and neither gave thanks to Him. God has made Himself plain to every human being through creation. His divine power has been made clear to everyone. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but by their thinking they became foolish, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. I will not dig into that, but simply, God has revealed himself from the beginning of time. There is no one who is without excuse, whether this person has never heard about Jesus or about God. No one is without excuse. The simple message of God is that no man is without excuse, that God has not revealed himself. Because creation, when you walk to the beach, when you look at the sky, when you look at the oxygen that you breathe in for free, and you give out carbon dioxide, and the plants take in that oxygen and give you take in that carbon dioxide and give you that oxygen, when you look at all the interconnectedness of the simple cell, that is that functional unit that works like a machine, that seems to have a mind of its own, that we are still discovering the various components of it, you cannot fail to conclude that there was an intelligent design, there was an intelligent being, an intelligent creator that has put the order in the earth. And that is why you find that the ancestors, the fathers, even those African traditions, they looked at the creation, they looked at Mount Kenya, they looked at the mountains, they looked at these big trees and believed that this must be their God. They ascribed God to the created things. And this is what God is saying, that even though God revealed himself to every man, men turned to created things because they were awed by the majesty and thought that this was their God. And so they neither glorified the supreme creator, God our Father, and they never gave thanks to him. And so their hearts were darkened. And what does God do when you reject him? He hands you over to a depraved mind. He hands you over to a futile mind. And so you see, anything that is contrary to that belief in God results in a depravity that is even beyond our discussion on this audio. When you find someone living in depravity, in shameful things, it's because they did not glorify God, they did not give thanks to God, and did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. And that is why God's wrath is poured out and was poured out on mankind. And remember, even in Genesis chapter 6, why was the first earth destroyed? Of course, why was the first earth destroyed as we see it in Genesis, in what is written? The first earth was destroyed was because of the sinfulness of man. Every inclination of the man's heart was towards sin. And God said that he will never strive with man again, and his days are 120. He's mortal. So God desires and has desired to reveal himself to mankind, and has desired to restore mankind to the sonship that he gave them, to the dominion that he gave them, to the relationship that he gave them. The encounter of God and Adam is that Adam was actually made in the image and likeness of God. He was the son of God. And if you read the genealogies, he'll tell you, an Adam, the son of God, made in the image and likeness of God. with character, with the attributes of God, with the glory of God, with the mind of God, with the everything that God expected him to do and operate on the physical realm. God gave it to man, and God gave it to Adam. But you see, there are things that he limited Adam to the physical dimension. Because God, he says, the highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to men. So man was given the authority of his physical dimension. And even God himself cannot break the will of a man who has refused him. Any man who has refused God, God has no capacity to make the man change his mind. What God can do is he can leave you to tormentors. He can give you encounters where you meet him. He can meet you like Saul was met on the road to Damascus. But it is you to change your mind and to turn to believe him. So God has no power to actually make a man turn. But he has the power to send men to teach you the word. He has the power to give you the grace to understand the message. That's why he says, how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they believe? And how can people preach to them unless they are sent of God? So what God does is that he sends people to preach to you, to teach you the love of God, to teach you the forgiveness of God, to teach you the desire of God, that God wanted you to be his son. And he made you in his image and likeness. He made you as his son. And his greatest desire is that you come back to your place of sonship. Now, Adam lost his place because he obeyed Satan. He obeyed the devil. And by his obedience to the devil, which is what it says that there's a law in the spirit that says that whoever you serve, whoever you obey, you become their servant. And whoever you obey, you become their slave. So the reason, and Adam did not know that by simply obeying the ideas of Satan, he was handing over his dominion and becoming a slave to Satan. And that is why our world is under the dominion at the moment of Satan. That's why the Bible describes him as the God of this world. When Satan met Jesus, he told Jesus that, look at all these kingdoms, all these dominions, all this glory. I can give them to any. They were given to me. They were handed over to me, and I can give them to anyone else. Now, it is not God. They were delivered to me. It is not God who gave Satan dominion over the earth, over the authorities, over the, you know, the powers, the, you know, the systems of men. No, it is Adam who in his naivety obeyed the speakings of the devil and handed over his own authority, the dominion that God gave him in the garden. You can imagine how Adam, the Bible says that all the animals came to Adam, and whatever he named them, that was their name. Like God was just watching. Like the first test after he made Adam was to see, okay, I made this guy in my image and likeness. Eh? Let me see if he knows the names of all the animals. Whatever Adam named them, that was their name.
And God did not even want Adam to have an understanding of sin or of wickedness or of evil. That is why the tree was the knowledge of good and evil. Everything that God made was good. And that is the realm of God. Everything to him is good. And so when Adam sinned and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, a new knowledge was introduced, which is the knowledge of evil. And when that knowledge of evil was introduced, then he discovered that he was naked. And God, who was interacting with Adam in the garden through his voice, the Bible says he heard the voice of the Lord coming, walking in the garden, and he hid himself. And when he hid himself, he said, when God asked him, Adam, where are you? It was not about a physical location. Where are you hiding yourself? Because God knew he was in the garden and he was coming to him. But God was basically asking Adam, where are you from the authority and the dominion that I gave you? And from the place of righteousness, from the place of glory that I created in you. That is why when we sin, it is our fall from the glory and the righteousness that God created man to live in. And because Adam served himself by obeying Satan, he became a slave to Satan, and Satan took his dominion and his authority. And you see, the authority that man was supposed to be accessing, the heavenly council, accessing the throne of God, is lost. And that is why in the book of Job we see that when the sons of God came to God, to heaven, Satan also was among them. And he is there by right. And the right he is there by the right that Adam gave him. And that is why he stands there and opposes. He says, no, this one served me. That's why the Bible says, when you read, I think it is Joel, where the high priest Joshua is standing, and the accuser, who is the devil, is also standing there, and he's standing by the right. He's saying that this one is my servant. He's a slave to sin. Can't you see? He has filthy rags. His righteousness is like filthy rags. He's trying to earn righteousness by himself. And that is where anyone who is not of the understanding of the righteousness that is by faith will always stand accused before God. And anytime you come to pray, the devil will stand to accuse you and remind you of all the multiple wicked and demonic things that you have done. And that is why you cannot pray. And as you pray, he will tell you, why you think your prayer is being answered. What did you do? What have you done? How many people have you killed? How many women have you slept with? How many things have you done? Now that is the accusation that the devil impacts on anyone who wants to confer righteousness based on their works and based on on how much they have done, on how much things they have done, on dead works, on how much they have paid, on how much they have been faithful, on how the whole week they have fasted, or how they have fasted from the beginning of the year for 40 days. That is how those are now dead works. They are works, yes, but they are dead, because anything that you think that you do that earns you the love of God, that earns you righteousness, is dead works. Because if you say, okay, I did not think any evil thought, I've been righteous the whole week, I've been fasting. Is there any point you did not have an evil thought? No. Even from this morning, even from the moment we started this teaching, I'm sure one thought has run and reminded you of evil thing you did. Now, that is the speaking of the enemy. To remind us of the evil things that we have done and the evil things that actually do not qualify us for righteousness to God. But you see, the Bible tells us that what is the righteousness that Christ gives? It is a righteousness that is of faith. Now, why is it of faith? It is a righteousness that says that I cannot be righteous on any account of what I do. I cannot be righteous on any action that I do. The only action that I am required to do for me to receive the righteousness of God, the righteousness of faith, is a simple belief in the death, burial, resurrection, and the of Jesus Christ, and the forgiveness of sins that comes on account of the blood of Jesus. Simply believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth is what brings us to righteousness. That is the faith of righteousness. Do you believe that your sins are forgiven in Christ? If your answer is yes, then you are conferred upon the righteousness of God. And when God looks at you, your life is hidden in Christ, and Christ is in God. And every time an accusation comes, the blood of Jesus that speaks better things than the blood of Abel, that speaks better things than the blood of bulls, that speaks better things than all the fastings and all the crucifixions of yourself, that speaks better things than all the givings that people do to become to unrighteousness, or going to, you know, to whatever, to monasteries, all those things that people do to think that it earns them righteousness, it has never and will never earn you righteousness. Why? Because our salvation is by faith, is by grace through faith. It is the mercy of God that gives you righteousness. It is just the mercy. And that's why he said to Joshua, the high priest, he said that, the angel said, is this not a burning stick snatched from the fire? Is this not a burning stick? Are we not just burning sticks who should have been in hell? This person, that this prostitute that is crying to God every night, do you think is she not a burning stick that when she comes to God, her father, and cries, do you think God does not forgive her? That's why when he says, judge nothing before it's time. Because he says many tax collectors are entering ahead of this person that is constantly crying to God, God, I messed up today, I am sorry. God, I messed up today, I'm sorry. God, I am a sinner. I do not deserve your righteousness. It's because he's coming to his father, knowing that in his father there is forgiveness. He receives righteousness. And let me assure you, anyone who is constantly having that consciousness of coming to God for repair, for forgiveness, is actually more loved of God, is actually someone who really experiences the love of God than the person who says, no, I've been righteous, I've been doing great things, I don't have sin. That's why it says, if anyone claims to be without sin, they deceive themselves, and the truth of God is not in them. 1 John chapter 1. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we believe that God forgives us, then, and he can forgive us for anything, even Judas could have been forgiven if he came back in repentance. The same way Peter denied Jesus 3 times and was restored, is the same way God is in the business of restoring and washing and sanctifying and making us holy. Righteousness is conferred on the point of salvation. Sanctification is the process, is the cleaning up that God continues to do and work in us as we walk in this life of righteousness. This working out of our salvation in fear and trembling is the work of God. It is Him that wills in us to do and to will according to His good pleasure. The righteousness that is by faith is one that is led by God. It actually says that this righteousness teaches us to say no. So grace is not a license to sin. It does not mean that now that you are forgiven, now that God looks at you as righteous, you can do whatever you want. And that is where people go back. It's like the dog going back to its own vomit. And that's why Paul asks, if I rebuild what I destroyed, then I become a transgressor. God has already brings you to the point of righteousness. He brings you to the point where He calls you His son. He brings you to the kingdom of God. He adopts you as His son. He calls you, you're a son of God. He gives you His spirit. You become the temple of God. You don't become the temple of God at a later point. You become the temple of God at the point of your belief and confession in Christ. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. You receive that new life. And that now new life, the Holy Spirit in you, now works in you righteousness. That is when now when you want to sin, you can clearly know the voice of God that this is sin. Even if it is not written in the Bible, as people like telling you, show me where smoking is written in the Bible as a sin. But the one that has the life of God in them, the one that has come to the righteousness that is by faith, the one that has received the righteousness that is not of their own works, has not received a license to sin. He will know, actually, the Spirit of God in you will tell you, this is a sin. And you will not do it. And if you want to obey Him, you will stop. And that is why it says that anything that is not done of faith is sin. Whenever we lose this faith that our righteousness is not of our own works, it is an imputed righteousness. And that's where David found. He said that blessed is the man whose the Lord does not count his sin against. You are blessed if you believe that God does not count your sin against you in Christ. And when you're in Christ, you will not continue to live in sin. But if you fall in sin, these are two heavy words, maybe we'll find time to talk about falling in sin and living in sin. And if you read 1 John, if you read verse chapter 2, it starts with saying that, my dear children, I write to you that you should not sin. But if any of you sins, just know that you have an advocate, the Father, who is the propitiation of our sins, is the payment of our sins. So children are constantly living and falling in sin, yet they are loved of God. It's just like the same way your child who is constantly needing pamper changes. No matter how angry a mother is with the child, he knows that this is still a child. This is my child. And he still needs to be cleaned. God is cleaning up so many children. And that's why he says he has so many children. He loves his children. And that's why you'll find someone is still struggling in sin. But he sees that when he prays to God, God answers. And maybe the devil can either give you a doctrine there that all these things are still fine, because God still answers me. But you see, this person who lives at this level, you will not find them being given kingdom responsibility, because kingdom responsibility is being given to sons who have grown in maturity, to elders, to young men, I write to young men because you are strong, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you elders because you have known whom is from the beginning. I write to you little children because your sins are forgiven. Little children are still in the place of understanding the forgiveness of God, because they are just there, they are still there. They don't know that God calls you to forgive, It doesn't matter what your wife has done, whether she has slept with 20 men. If you have been forgiven by God, God tells you, forgive her. The same love I have given you, the same unconditional love and forgiveness I give you in Christ is the same way, accord to your wife or to your spouse. That's what Jesus said. If someone asks Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? He said, 77 times, 7 times in a day. Someone will say, but this person is not changing. Forgive them. This person is like this. Forgive them. Because when you come to God, oh yeah, yeah, oh God, I've sinned again. Forgives you. Oh no, no, he slapped someone. He forgives you. Oh no, 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 he did it. He forgives you. But anyone who continues in this righteousness, you'll realize that slowly by slowly, the things that held you captive no longer hold you captive. Anyone who has walked this life of righteousness will have the testimony that there are things they struggled with, and they don't know at which point those things fell off. Let me stop there. We will continue. I pray that God will give you understanding and insight into the righteousness that He desires for us to have. Welcome.
To continue, acknowledging that we are not perfect, and just as God gave us this flesh, it came with its own weaknesses, and if we are required to always seek for that forgiveness, seek for that repentance, and ask for His mercy, that is the right thing to do, because sin is in different forms, you know. But sometimes you think sin is only the big ones. Killing, using, stealing, or even in the thoughts, you know, in our emotional feelings, what we think towards others, sometimes all comes off in a sinful way. And you just need to go back to God and say, Father, I've been envious of this person. I've been jealous of this person. Forgive. It says, repent and shall be forgiven. You know? So I think it's good to have this reminder. And sometimes, as you rightfully said, sometimes when you sin, sometimes you feel like, this time round I've crossed the bar. I don't think there's forgiveness for me. Again, we forget that there's no sin that God can't forgive. We just say, Father, I have sinned. Forgive me. As long as it's coming from a honest place.
Yes, you're right.
And is ready to forgive. So yeah, it's good. And thank you for that.
Yeah, we thank God. Amen.
Yeah, I think this, to me, the concept is very much clear. And I think that as a Christian, actually we need to be clear, more than clear about the topic, because it's about related to the salvation. Fundamental thing of Christianity, that Jesus' birth, rebirth, resurrection, then is related to the faith. And in this world, we have to think that I have been guided by Holy Spirit, and I'm maintaining my life as individual according to the gospel. So that's the thinking for me today.
Amen.
I want us to pray with even those online today, and maybe someone has not understood the love of God and actually the simple message of salvation, which is just faith in Christ and the forgiveness that is paid for in full in Christ, and the forgiveness that is constantly available. And actually, there is that throne of grace. That's why it says boldly you can come to the throne of grace and receive mercy and grace for our time of need. The reason why even drunkards, whenever they cry out, or whoever is a sinner and is in an accident and they cry out to Jesus and God answers them, is because at that point, when they shouted Jesus, they came boldly to the throne of grace and they received mercy and grace for their time of need. Now, that is how God answers us. Anytime we come in faith, in that faith of boldness, there is a throne in heaven that is called the throne of grace. That is a throne where forgiveness exists. And we are told to come boldly. That means that forget any accusation that the devil has against you and just come to that throne. And just repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I thank you. I come before your throne room of grace. And in your grace, in the throne room of grace, I find mercy and I find grace for my time of need. And Father, forgive us for our sins, our failures, our shortcomings. And forgive he that is crying out to you at this moment for forgiveness. And in that forgiveness, they receive a new life. And they become and the sons of God. And they receive the righteousness of God. And they become a new creation. God does not count their sins against them and looks at them in the eyes of Christ. He only sees Christ when he sees them. And Christ is righteous. And the blood of Jesus purifies and sanctifies from all unrighteousness. And any thought that comes and opposes, we take it captive and we make it obedient to Christ. So every thought that condemns, we tell it that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And even our sinful nature was cut out in Christ. We are not slaves to sinful nature because we have received the spiritual circumcision, which is the cutting away of our sinful nature. And we have and receive the righteousness that is of faith. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Find a church, find a believing, Bible-believing church and receive of God and learn of God. Have a blessed morning.